Got a an email last week from a guy who said, hey, got a friend who's a listener. I don't know. Let's just bring him on and try and decipher this. The email was from John Mabry, and he joins us now, who's a guy who's actually in the movie Superbad.
Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
One of the biggest parts you could have had in the movie.
I know, man.
John Mabry was in it, but how did you get word that we were doing this? Do you have a friend that listens? Do you listen? What's your deal?
Yeah, so I'm a native Texan, but I live here in Nashville for about the last 10 years, and Los Angeles and San Diego in between there. And yeah, my buddy Matt Smith, who's listening right now, reached out to me and said, hey, man, they're doing a deal on Superbad Movie of the Month, and I've got an entire word in the movie, but it is a classic.
it's a word we can't say.
You have one word in the movie, and we can't say it. And we can't play your clip or anything.
No, but I'm the amputee that runs past Jonah Hill, short track scene, and curse at him as I run by. And yeah, I'll tell you, it was interesting how all that came about, and we can go into that if you'd like.
We would love to, of course. So remembering the scene. Well, in fact, I should let you tell the story. You're probably way better at it than I am.
So yeah, I'll just preface with when I was a senior at Baylor University in 2000. I was involved in a car accident, and we rolled about 10 times. We were on I-45 outside of Houston, just a freak accident. No drinking or driving, just tire blew out in a friend's car, and we were just sent rolling across the interstate. Had one fatality. My friend Ashley Furman passed away, and then two other relatively minor injuries, and I ended up having 14 surgeries that year. And Matt Smith, who's listening, who turned me on to you guys for this today, I missed his wedding, and there's things that I missed along the way, but I tried my best to get back to school as I was recovering in San Antonio at my parents' house, and ended up having my leg amputated at the end of 14 surgeries in a year of just instability and depression, anxiety, and pain. Ended up having my leg amputated and graduated from Baylor and moved out to San Diego, started working on a master's in counseling. And as I got to the end of that program, I kind of stumbled into a role. I was a body double for my cousin in a television show called Over There, and it just lasted one season on FX.
We love Over There.
We watched Over There. We know it well.
Oh, okay. So Josh Henderson.
The Iraq War movie?
Yeah.
So Josh Henderson's my cousin. He was in Desperate. He was the lead in that show. And so I did all of his amputee body double stuff for that. And
wow. So, all right.
Yeah.
And his name wasn't his name on the show your name?
No, let's see. What was his name on the show?
Oh, okay. I can't remember what his name was. I'm sorry.
I can't remember.
My bad.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I don't remember. No worries. So, you know, People Magazine and Access Hollywood and all these, you know, national media outlets came out to do the story of these first cousins working together on a controversial show. It was the first time a show about a war was being produced while that war was going on, produced by Stephen Bochco. So it was kind of controversial at the time. Are people ready for it? And although it was really well done, I think it was a little too real for people. And so they pulled the plug on it after one season, but I got my SAG card. I was officially a SAG member and said, man, I'm going to move up to LA from San Diego and try this full time. So there's a nice little niche in the industry. You don't think about it, but there's a nice niche in the industry for playing the wounded soldier and the amputee guy. And so let's.
Yeah. Wow. There's a little silver lining in the.
That's definitely making lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah. Because I look at your IMDb page, and on NCIS, you played amputee veteran. Brothers and sisters, yep. Amputee veteran. Like, it just seems like maybe. Now, on the one hand, you're getting typecast.
Yep.
But on the other hand, who else can play amputee veteran like you?
Exactly. You know, and there were some projects I worked on, like Cold Case. I actually worked behind the scenes they hired an able-bodied actor, and I didn't get the role, but they brought me on to make sure things looked accurate on set. So there's this amputee consultant or a technical consultant.
Really?
Is what they call it.
They hired the guy with two legs.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Well, that's humbling. Yeah.
So I get this call in from my agent and say, hey, they want to bring you in for this movie called Superbad. And I didn't really care if I got the role or not, because it was just one word. I'm like, I don't really care. But I knew Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, and these guys were in it. And Allison Jones was doing the casting. And Allison Jones cast for like all of Steve Carell stuff, all of Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill stuff. She does a lot of work with them. So I was like, fine, just get in front of her and get in front of her people. That's really the main thing. So I did, and I get in this little room, and they have this, you know, big camcorder set up, and I just jog in place and yell my word, which we won't say on air, but they just had me do that a few times. It was just so awkward, you know, like just jogging in place. And I go, I do it, and I leave, and a couple months go by, and my brother calls me and goes, hey, man, did you ever hear about that one show? And I was like, no. I'm kind of glad. I really don't want my kids seeing me do that. I didn't have kids at the time, but or I guess I had one at the time. And I was like, you know, that's fine if it doesn't go through or not. And the next, sure enough, the next day they called. And they're like, hey, we need you on Wednesday. So here we go, suit up. So went out on set. And it was the funnest set I ever got to work on. I mean, those guys just, they're just, I mean, they work with massive budgets on these projects. And they just have a blast. They have a really good time behind the scenes. And so it was cool to get to be a small part of it.
That was kind of like the beginning of their careers, right? They were all... Michael Cera was already in Arrested Development, I think.
Yeah.
But still, he was at the... You know, it was kind of a bunch of relatives. McLovin is pretty unknown at that time. That might have been the first time I ever saw McLovin. Jonah Hill certainly wasn't what he's become as an Oscar-winning guy, or at least Oscar-nominated. I don't know if he won.
It looks like the best time ever.
Yeah, it was. So Jonah plays this trick. So after our scene that we shot on the track, and then they shot a scene where they're on the soccer field. And it's a scene where Jonah and Michael kind of are talking about the party in the middle of soccer practice.
Yes, that's awesome.
You know, there's all these kids running. Yeah, so all the kids are running around them and kicking the ball. And then, like, Jonah kicks the ball out of the way, and they curse at him. And so he played this this practical joke. And so all the kids were just supposed to kind of curse at him and say whatever they were going to say. I wasn't really paying attention. I'm in the background just hanging out. And then all of a sudden you hear Jonah going, shut it down. Everybody be quiet. Shut everything down. And they had like the behind the scenes cameras rolling, and he's yelling at those guys to like cut off all the cameras. And everybody just stops like freezing, going, what the heck? And he goes, who called me? Somebody called him something. And just, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And it was this little Hispanic kid, and he yelled something at Jonah. And I don't know exactly what it was, but Jonah got up in that kid's face, and he was like, listen, man, you can call me any name in the book, but you never, ever call me that name. Ever. Nobody calls me that name. And he just got dead silent. He sat there. I mean, just awkward silence. And then he goes, oh, I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding.
So like a Joe Pesci Goodfellas move?
Yes. And everybody's just busting up laughing, like, oh, my gosh, that was hilarious. But the sad part was is that kid ran off, like, crying. As you can imagine, he's this little 15-year-old high school kid. You know, he's just doing a background thing, and he's on set with a big actor, and the big actor gets in his face and screams at him, you know, in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And the kid ended up going off crying, and I heard Jonah talking on the side, just going, yeah, I mean, he felt terrible. He was like, dude, I should have told him, you know. I mean, Jonah is as big of a actor as he is, or, you know, what was at the time. Is still very caring and has and being raised in LA too. He has a more compassionate heart than a lot of people from what I saw. He felt definitely remorseful for doing that.
It was funny. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. That's very rude of me. This is John Mabry, our actor friend who went to Baylor and is in Superbad, and seems like you've really carved out a nice little career in Hollywood with the many appearances. And let me just say, as I'm looking at your scene in Superbad as we speak, you seem to be able to run at a very nice tempo, and I don't mean in any way, shape, or form for that to sound insulting, but you run fast, man. That's a very impressive work on your part.
It's funny. So being an amputee, you know, we filmed the scene. We did it twice, two separate days. So the first time we came out, in the time that I was just telling you about when Jonah played that practical joke, I had my running leg. You know, it's like the J-shape cheetah foot. And so
like Oscar Pistorius.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's what it looks like. Although, if anybody's ever seen him.
Yes.
But that's so as far as the comparisons go with you and Oscar Pistorius, right?
Exactly. Let's stop there. I did not shoot anybody or take my leg and beat anybody with it.
Thank you.
Yes. But so they ended up calling like a month later, and they said, hey, they want to bring you back. They say that you ran too good. They want you to kind of struggle a little bit more. They said, can you make it look a little more? And she paused. And I was like, gimpy? And she was like, yeah. I didn't want to say it, but can you run a little more gimpy? So we came back out. Another day, they brought the whole crew back on set just to shoot that 10-second scene in my everyday leg. It's kind of my everyday leg. It's not the running foot. Just to make it look like I was struggling a little bit more. So
let me ask you this. And this is what year?
2007?
Yeah, 7.
Okay,
six,
so I don't know if...
And came out 7.
I don't know if this has changed at all over the decade plus, but how much money do you make as an extra? How much money do you make if you get one line? Is it different than if you got, like, you know, a couple sentences of dialogue, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I don't know how they break it all down. I mean, like, I got a day rate for being on set, so when they had to come out another day, I was like, yeah, I'll shoot it another day.
You doubled your money by going one more day.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I get checks. I still get checks about quarterly, and they go down over time. They're called residuals, and so I still get residuals for projects. I just opened one up yesterday, actually, from Superbad. That was this one was around $50. So
$50. So nice. You make a couple $100 a year from Superbad being shown across the nation.
Yeah.
What'd you get that day?
DVDs. Back then, I think it was around $1,300 for the day rate.
And is that because you spoke one line? Did you get more than like the other spares out on the track that were running around?
Yeah, so if you have a speaking role, that bumps you up a notch as opposed to just hanging out in the background,
Do you know what's the difference?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
You're really prying, Dan. This is very sensitive Hollywood information.
Well, they publish what the big boys make, but they never tell you what the guy in... What did Nicolas Cage make when he was just making food in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and you just saw him for one moment? That's what I want to know. But that's awesome, man.
Typically background, you don't get residuals for background. If you have a significant role or a speaking part, then that's when residuals kick in.
Well, that's awesome. We're kind of running out of time, but we appreciate you reaching out, getting in touch. Appreciate your buddy named, your most average named buddy, Matt Smith.
Yeah. Isn't Mabry, she's probably listening. Maybe Ross Camp want to give her a shout out. And my friend Mike Capetti, who's out there, is probably listening. So thank you guys.
Yeah, dude, nice to meet you. We appreciate it, and we definitely appreciate your work as well. It's a showstopper.
Hey, my pleasure, and I hope everybody comes out and sees the movie tonight. Y'all get out there and buy a ticket if you haven't yet.
Oh, well, thank you for helping commerce.
Part of it may end up in his mailbox in a couple
months. Oh, that's
months.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's like exactly. One penny of tonight's take goes to John Mabry.
Exactly.
All right, bro. Thanks very much. Great to meet you.
All right. God bless y'all.
All right.
Bye.
We don't know how to dismount.